It is a chilly but busy day in Washington, D.C. A surprise visitor, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, will speak to Congress, and senators are voting on a big spending bill. It contains aid to Ukraine, along with changes to how Congress certifies presidential elections. It's meant to avoid a repeat of January 6th. Senator Angus King is on the line now. He's an independent from Maine and co-sponsor of the Electoral Count Bill. Senator, welcome back to Here and Now.
Hey, great to be with you, Scott, particularly on this busy day.
Indeed it is. The electoral count law goes back to the late 1800s. This change would, as some put it, Trump-proof the system. How would this bill change the role, the authority of the vice president?
Well, basically, it makes clear what most people, including Vice President Pence, thought was the law, and that is that the vice president doesn't have the authority to decide on his own or her own which votes count, which votes are valid. It's a what they call it is a ministerial function, which means opening the votes and announcing them, not making those kinds of decisions. So that's one of the most important provisions in the bill. Okay. The second provision, though, Scott, that's really important is it ups the level of required number of objectors. Right now, ridiculously, under the old law, the 150-year-old law, one senator and one House member can object to a state's votes being counted, and the potential for mischief is clear. Now, under this bill, it will take 20% of both bodies, 20% of the Senate, 20% of the House, in order to file objections and trigger the review process.
Yeah. And I guess I'm trying to understand the upshot of that. If enough members from each chamber still want to raise objections, could it still allow, say, a slate of alternative electors from a certain state if enough members want to push it through?
Well, number one, they'd have to go from 20%, which is the level that's necessary to simply raise an objection, but it would be a majority vote in the houses to accept alternative electors. That's a very high bar. What we're trying to do is make it more difficult to manipulate this system. And then there are other provisions about judicial review and expedited appeals and making clear the state can't just say, we're going to have another election because we don't like these results.
Senator, you're an independent. On the Republican side, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky threw his support behind this bill yesterday. Are you hearing more Republicans acknowledge there's a weakness in the system that was exploited on January 6th?
Yes, but this is a bipartisan bill from the get-go. It has very broad-based support, and that's why it was included in this end-of-the-year budget bill, because everybody realizes this is something we have to do.
Yeah, and let me ask you briefly about the spending bill. The House Republican leader, Kevin McCarthy, has said he does not want to sign any blank checks for Kyiv, but the Biden administration is announcing a new $1.8 billion aid package today, including Patriot missiles for Ukraine. Will this be a point of contention, you think?
I hope not, and I don't think so. I am concerned about members of the House that are getting weak-kneed on the support for Ukraine. This is absolutely critical. You know, Google Sudetenland 1938 or Rhineland 1936, and you see why dictators have to be stopped when they do things like this. Otherwise, you have catastrophic results. This is a critical moment. I think what's really important right now is air defense, and particularly the Patriot missiles. That's that's a defensive weapon, and Putin's style is bombing the hell out of civilians, and that's what they're doing. That's what he did in Aleppo. That's what he did in Grozny. And that's clearly part of his strategy now, civilian infrastructure. Air defense is what they need, and that's something that we are already supplying, but I think that's where we need to step up.
President Zelensky has said that he wants long-range missiles that can strike into Russia. What do you expect to hear substantively from President Zelensky this evening?
Well, I don't know to the extent he's going to be specific in his speech about what he needs and wants. This is a very delicate situation, and I think the administration has played it exceedingly well in terms of calibrating incredibly important aid that has allowed and helped and facilitated the Ukrainian resistance and the success they've done so far. The challenge is to do so without escalating this into World War III. The long-range missiles into Russia, I think, would be perceived as that kind of escalation. It's a balancing act. I think it's President Zelensky certainly can ask for what he needs, but we have to be careful that what we're trying to do here is draw the line on Putin, not engage in a wider conflict.
Senator Angus King, independent from Maine. Sir, thank you again for taking the time.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to Here and Now.